Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Nikki, who are you?
I don't know. I stumbled in here. I'm trying to figure out. There's like new equipment here now.
New equipment. It's there's a whole new temple. You haven't been here in a while.
I'm trying to figure it out.
So I had to reintroduce myself to you.
What's going on?
I haven't seen you all year.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. You even got a haircut and everything.
I got a haircut.
Dude, you got a bowl cut. I'm very impressed.
I'm going Lloyd Christmas on everybody.
It looks very, very obedient.
It is.
How was your New Year's?
That's all right.
New Year's Eve or your holidays?
I didn't do anything.
I saw Colton got a crazy amount of toys.
Yeah, I did this stupid thing where, well, it's not stupid. It saves you money, but you don't. What you do is, like, I buy the presents all year long. If I see something in January, February on sale, I'll buy that. I'll throw it in the garage. And so you do that all year so you don't go shopping in November
and
spend $4,000.
That's so smart.
So I end up spending, like, it's $100 a month or $50 a month or whatever. So it doesn't hit you at one time.
Yeah.
But the only problem is that you end up buying a fucking toy store.
I couldn't, honestly, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think
I need to be Eddie's adopted.
No, like everyone's giving me shit. Everyone's giving me shit for it. And I was like, I was just buying stuff and sticking in the garage, not thinking.
Not thinking, of course.
Like I'd go out, if I just, like two things a month I would buy and just stick it in the garage and not think about it.
And then, things that he wanted? Like
things
usually,
that he wanted.
Like didn't he make like a list like around Christmas and you're like, oh man, this is not on the list.
Well, no, there was a couple things he'd mention, then I'd run out and get those things. But like I have an idea. He's like super into Lego, so anything Lego is fine. And so I just would buy things all year long. And then when we got ready to go wrap them in December, I pulled everything. I'm like, oh my
God. He's going to get way more toys than I ever had
in five years
of being a child.
It's been 3 weeks or 2 weeks, and he's still like, Daddy, that was the best Christmas ever. Like, he's still.
So you set yourself up,
yeah,
dude.
The bar's set pretty
you
high.
You set yourself up, like, literally.
But you know what?
If you do anything less than that, you are a failure in his eyes.
You're only a kid once, and you only believe in magic for a little bit of time.
That's true. That's very true.
So,
and he's what? He's six?
He's seven.
Oh yeah, that's
so
like
it's
the perfect time.
It started.
Maybe two more years.
I could see the horizon where it's starting to like this isn't going to be magical very much longer.
Right.
So let's might as well
make it happen.
Yeah.
And were you just like, man, Santa thinks you were such a good kid.
Holy crap, dude! You better not do anything bad ever.
That's awesome. Did he bake cookies or anything like that?
We made cookies and he left carrots out for the reindeer.
Did you take a bite? You did.
I pounded all the cookies.
He did.
But he wouldn't go to sleep. Like, he was up until 2 a.m. on Christmas
Eve. That's what you do.
So
you're
excited.
So excited. It's the best. That's the best night.
I got to wrap
35
presents.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
And then you're going to wake up at 6, super excited, so I'm going to get, like, 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but you know what? That's like, every parent says that's the best day to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, my God, it makes the other 364 days so worth it.
It's crazy. It's you totally, like, that feeling you have when you're a kid, and you wake up, and it's, like, magic.
I mean, it is the best night to the best morning.
You experience it again as an adult through a kid's eye. It's amazing.
So you just like, oh, I got a wallet. That's pretty cool.
I don't even get it. I bought myself a watch band for my Apple Watch, and then I wrapped it and put it under the tree.
Dude, I got two wallets. I'm like, what am I going to do with two wallets?
One for each pocket?
Maybe.
Double
maybe
fist.
They saw my George Costanza wallet, and they were like, you know, maybe we should divvy this up into two. I went to the USC Rose Bowl. That was the highlight of my holidays.
Oh, you went to the Rose Bowl game?
Dude.
How much did that cost?
It was $160, but I lost a bet, so it cost me a little bit more. But, you know, it was the best sporting event that I've ever been to.
I would imagine. That was a pretty good game.
That was pretty good. Pretty good game.
Well, I didn't have a horse in the race, so I didn't give a shit.
We were down 14 points with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Pretty good game.
And we didn't even have the ball. I mean, it was pretty crazy.
8 minutes is an eternity in football.
It is and it isn't because we punted with
especially college football.
We were down by 7 points. There were 4 minutes left in the game. Uh-huh. We punted, and I was so pissed. I was like, "Why would you punt? Let's like
because 4 minutes is forever in football."
But we got an interception, and then we got a touchdown, and then we got another
you don't go for it on fourth down, down by 7 with 4 minutes left.
All right, yeah, I would have.
Where was the ball?
It was like the 40.
Yeah, so no.
Yeah, but it's dead.
That's why you're not a coach.
Yeah, that's why. I'm in the Madden era. I'm in the Madden video.
You don't
video
go
game
like
era.
It's 4th and 15. Like, I'm going for
4th and 15. I'm going to Hail Mary.
I never punt.
It's true, but you know what? It was a pretty unbelievable game. That was like, I definitely didn't think we were going to pull it off at one point.
You guys are ranked in the top 5 now, right?
I know. And did you see the national championship last night?
No.
Clemson, with 1 second left in the game, they scored. And
well, I saw
Alabama.
The play. They picked. That was an illegal pick.
What? How?
That play that they ran where they scored the touchdown, because there's a two wide receivers, a wide receiver on the wide out and the guy in the slot.
Yeah.
The guy on the far right came straight across and just went right into the cornerback, and then that slot receiver just slipped under, and they threw him the touchdown at the goal line.
I didn't see
the
block.
That's a pick play. It's illegal. I guarantee any other point in that game it would have been called a penalty, but it's because it was the end of the game. They didn't want to end it that way.
Yeah, that would have kind of sucked.
It's a pick play. It's illegal.
It was a great play.
Yeah.
So you think they did that on purpose because they knew it was illegal?
I don't know.
Well,
it was illegal.
I'm very happy that Alabama
should have been called. I
was very happy that Clemson won. I was very happy that Alabama lost. I was very happy that USC won because we lost to Alabama in our first game. We got killed.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
It was just like, oh man, it was total redemption. I've started the new year in a good way so
that's
far.
Good.
So far, so good.
That's good.
We've missed you here, Eddie.
Yeah, no,
we've missed
away.
You, man.
How's the fill-ins going?
The what?
The fill-in guests. Hosts.
The
guest
film,
hosts.
You know what? They are great.
Who guest hosted?
Brian Patton, Sexy Vegan.
Sexy
himself.
Vegan, okay.
He did a couple shows, and then a couple other people did some.
Nice.
But it just, you know, it just doesn't feel right. It's like having a different person in your bed, you know?
Oh. Well, that's not bad.
That's not true.
Depends
actually.
On who it is. If it's me, it's gross.
But you know what? I feel like I should have like the Dumb and Dumber haircut now that you've got Lloyd. You've got the Lloyd haircut. Did you cut your own hair? Or
no, it's a full-on haircut. I don't have any product in it. I'm wearing a hat.
Do you put product in it?
When I don't wear a hat. But I got a hat right there.
Your Redskins. Let's talk about football for a little bit.
We just did.
Well, we did college football. Let's talk about NFL.
Yeah.
What did you think about the playoffs?
Well, they're still going on.
Well, I know, but any games that you were kind of like upset by?
No.
Any? Did you know the Raiders lost? Did you think they were going to lose?
Yeah, as soon as Derek Carr went out, yeah, they had no chance.
But he got MVP, right, for the league? Somebody
no.
Said he got, who got
I don't
MVP?
Think so. They haven't announced it yet.
Oh, I think somebody said that he's going to get it.
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, I don't think so.
How do you like me now?
I don't think so. There's like Aaron Rodgers should get it.
Someone told me he's hated by his team.
Like well, I heard team. That too.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
He's brought them to the Super Bowl. He's like made them win. Well, he can't
maybe
win
they
all.
Don't like... I don't know. I don't know.
Well, anyways, looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Rob Bonfilio.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Mr. The audience loves you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
How you doing?
You got to be Italian with that last name.
No, I'm not.
What?
I'm Sicilian.
Oh, close.
Yeah, geographically speaking, yeah.
So you like, you were you raised in Sicily?
No.
You just have family there?
Actually,
ancient ancestors?
Yes, ancestors. I went there on my honeymoon and looked in the phone book, and it was page after page after page of Bonfilio.
You're like, I am related
what?
To all of these
Did you go
people.
Try to get wedding presents from all of them?
Yeah, I should have.
Mafioso style?
Exactly.
They just all give you envelopes?
Sicily on, hello. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, Sicily is actually one of the part of Italy. I've spent a lot of time in Italy, and Sicily is the one part I've never been to, and it's like very high on my priority list to get down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like a whole different country. That's what everybody
is.
Says.
It really
the
is.
Food's different, the language is different, the people are different, the vibe, everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'd never been there before this honeymoon, so what do I know? But we got to see like all the mainland of Italy, and then we went down to Sicily. And yeah, there was definitely regional differences between the two. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So how did Sicilian boy come to the States?
Hey,
were your parents
my
musicians?
Grandparents, my paternal grandparents.
Okay, all right.
Came there. No, you know, there's no music in my family. So
really,
no,
you're not. The black sheep.
Yeah, of my immediate family. Supposedly, I have relatives that are musical, but I don't know any of them. So, no, I never grew up with, like, okay, you're taking piano lessons, and whether you like it or not. No, never had that. I kind of just fell into it myself. And, you know.
How'd you get started?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, so Philly is a great musical town. It was,
you know, the Fresh Prince is from there.
Of course. Well, you know, I saw
it's in the song.
I was in a band in the mid-90s, and we were recording a record. And this was in, like, northern Philadelphia, the North Philadelphia area. And right across the hall was Jazzy Jeff.
Whoa.
So this was probably right around the time that Will Smith was breaking big. You know, he was, like, starting to become a star, like a big star.
That's right. The time Jazzy Jeff was getting very angry.
Yeah, no, it seemed like they were like
a little
still
bitter.
Buds. He would come back and they'd have fun. I probably he was. I don't know. But I remember being in the hallway and he's like, "There's Will Smith. There he is." I'm like, "Whoa!" And he's like, "Hey, you got change for a dollar?" That's all I got.
Hey,
and he got top billing in that group too, right? It was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Absolutely,
it wasn't Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, you're right.
Way too late with the sound effect.
I know. I didn't look for it.
They don't bother.
Damn.
If it's that long of a time, then just don't do it.
Well, you know what? I still got it in there.
New year, new resolutions.
Work on the timing.
Work on the timing.
What was the band that you were recording with?
My band in the day, we were called Wanderlust.
Okay.
We did a record for RCA.
Grunge?
No. We were more
very grungy.
It does kind of. Well, we kind of rode the crest of the wave of signings of grunge bands.
Yeah.
However, we kind of fell into more of the power pop. So we were sort of like black sheep in that sort of. Well, yeah, Gin Blossoms is kind of a good similarity there. They weren't necessarily grunge. They were kind of more pop.
That's good rock pop, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty solid. What I like about and respect about that kind of styles of music, it's like that's a very arrangement-heavy, pop sensibility, very well-crafted and produced songs.
Yeah, it's about the songs.
It's like it really is about the songs.
Mm-hmm. We toured with Collective Soul for a year. So that was to give you an idea of that.
They must have played Shine a lot.
A lot.
You heard
that
it.
That was the record,
you heard it
too.
Every night.
Every night. It was amazing.
That's kind of funny. So when did you start playing? Like, what age were you started playing guitar or singing?
Yeah,
or?
Guitar it was. I started playing, I would say, in seventh grade. So I'm going to say I was about 12 or 13. And, you know, we had a fictional band in study hall.
Nice.
I remember that, yeah. Like,
okay, to get all the girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, you're going to play guitar, you're going to do rhythm guitar, you're going to be the lead singer. But we never actually rehearsed, but it was like conceptual.
You don't need to rehearse.
You're already
in a band.
Exactly. Yeah.
All you got to do is draw the logo.
All you got to do is say you're in a band.
Draw the logo in your notebook.
That's right. And
that's it.
Quite a bit.
And then just spread it around.
Yeah.
Maybe get stickers made. Maybe. Just to spread the word. Maybe.
If you're busy.
Did you play any school dances, anything like that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was the era of that, right?
This was the late 80s, okay? Not to age myself, but yeah. Now we did we did proms, and this is pre-Wanderlust days. This is way back. I had a cover band for a while, and then after high school and we did all that stuff, I went to college. I went to Berklee School of Music in Boston, and I became like a jazz freak.
Awesome.
So after that, okay, I got out of Berklee.
Well, wait, let's stop for a second. Okay. I want to ask you about you because I love jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
So who are your influences? Like jazz guitar or like jazz in general?
Jazz in general. But
okay.
Guitar, yeah, specifically as a guitarist. Jim Hall, Wes mm-hmm. Montgomery.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Pat Martino, who I actually had the fortune of studying with in Philadelphia
for
a little while. Yeah, absolutely. John
he's
Schofield.
Like a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Schofield, Pat Metheny.
Metheny's amazing. Mike Stern was great in the day. He's still great. And while I was at Berklee, there was like this new crest of great players that had come out. Kurt Rosenwinkel was there.
What about like Barney Kessel? Nobody says
Barney
Kessel.
Great.
I love
he's
Barney
old,
Kessel.
Yeah, that's like
Barney Kessel is like one of the like I think he's like one of the pioneers of jazz guitar. And what's that? Late Night in San Francisco is like the famous one of the records that he did.
Well,
with Al DiMeola.
No. That was John McLaughlin, Al DiMeola,
that's
and Paco
right.
de Lucia,
that's right.
who
that's
passed
right.
away not long ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But then
that was
Larry,
an acoustic.
Larry Coryell came into the fold after McLaughlin left or something like that.
But yeah. Barney Kessel did a lot of like 60s and 70s.
Barney Kessel was an LA guy, very much like straight ahead jazz. He had a group that was called the Pole Winners, and that was with Shelly Mann and I want to say Ray Brown. Ray Brown, Shelly Mann, and Barney Kessel. And he did a bunch of records on Contemporary, the label Contemporary. And then, yeah, he kind of fell into the studio thing. And right. he became, like, I think he became part of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
For a while.
That's right.
But, yeah, no, Barney, phew, an amazing player.
Burning player, burning player. Burning all right, player. All right. All right. Yeah, so yeah. Now you graduated Berkeley.
Graduated Berkeley. This is 1990. Okay. So moved back to Philadelphia. Berkeley's in Boston. Moved back to Philadelphia. Kicked around in some local bands for a while. And then around 1993, 94 is when...
Wanderlust
came together. Yeah.
The beginning of Wanderlust.
I was the last guy to join the band, but it came together and we toured. I mean, we played locally.
Was it W O N D E R or W A N?
No, yeah, German. Wanderlust. German. It should have been Wanderlust.
Wanderlust, but that,
right?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was actually taken from a Paul McCartney song called Wanderlust, which was on an album called Tug of War. So.
Nicely done.
We're
nicely
Beatles
done.
Freaks, and yeah. I'm observing your shirt. I know it's bad radio etiquette to start.
It's Stranger Things, but it's the
it
Beatles.
Out. Is that what it is?
It's Stranger Things T-shirt. Like but I'm a huge Beatles fan myself.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So got yeah, man. I met Paul McCartney. I met him twice.
Yeah, I met him too. Yeah. Which,
he's awesome.
Incredible.
He's
just a regular dude.
Yeah, and he deserves to be an ass to everybody because
totally.
He's a Beatle. But he's like a regular Joe, and you're like, God, we're not worthy, man. All right, so you went back to Philly.
Went back to Philly.
Started the band.
I didn't start the band. I was the last to join the band.
Okay.
However, it was still in its infancy when I joined. So, so we were together, I would say, about 18 months, played New York City, you know, everywhere, Philadelphia, all the regions, and D.C., and we were signed after 18 months.
That's amazing.
It was super fast. I mean, we had an energy and a kind of a chemistry that it was unique. I think at the time we really gelled as a band, and you know, that was it. We signed to RCA, did a record in 3 months, and hit the road with Collective Soul. And,
wow!
And then,
what rooms were you playing with them? Do you remember?
Oh my
festivals?
God. Mostly, like, I would say thousand seaters. I can't think of specific places. Like, let's say in New York City, we did. I think we played Avalon.
Wow.
And then Boston, we played another place up there.
Around
the
Paradise?
Paradise, yeah. I think it was Paradise.
Yeah.
All over the place. We did some outdoor radio festival stuff where there's, you know, multiple bands on the bill. And it's funny, Dave Matthews was signed just before we were to RCA.
Wow.
And so the guy who signed him was the guy who actually signed us as well.
Wait, did Bruce Flohr sign you?
Not Bruce Flohr. It was Bruce Flohr and Pete Robinson.
Okay.
And then Pete Robinson left the project somehow and ended up doing something else, and he's the one who signed us. But it was funny, because when we signed the deal, RCA was just, like, in an upheaval. Like, people were coming, people were going, and we got very close to not having our record released. And for some whatever good fortune, we had it released, and we got to, you know, have a little bit of success. We had a single called I Walked that charted and whatever. Never got to do a video, though, which I'm kind of bummed about. But
you're like, man, we were so close.
So close.
But, you know, who produced your record? That must have been an amazing experience.
A guy named Mike Mazmano. He was a Philly guy. Actually, he was from Harrisburg. Very, very eccentric, kind of a... He was younger than we were at the time. He was just kind of like this studio genius kid, but very, like, savvy and very on top of the cool New York pop. And it's funny because the band The Strokes came about 5 years later, and Mike Mazmano was very much like that 5 years earlier. So it was kind of like he kind of preemptively
made that happen.
Well, I don't know if he made it happen, but he was kind of at the vanguard.
That's
of that
a pretty
scene.
Vibrant, like, you kind of like were in a cool wave of music.
Yeah.
Like the night that's like the mid-90s, right around?
Yeah.
94, 95,
yeah.
Around there.
Yeah.
That's like a really. Like Eddie's favorite band is Pearl Jam, so like the grunge thing was hitting heavy, and then a band like Dave Matthews Band,
yeah.
Collective Soul, they were hitting pretty heavy,
yeah.
And you mentioned the Gin Blossoms,
yes,
that was another band that hit
that
pretty
was
heavy
slightly before we got signed, but yeah, they were huge at the time, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Like it's like such an eclectic sound, but it's a very, like, now you look at it and it is a very 90s sound, like it's got this like very clean, posh kind of, like,
yeah.
It's not like, it's not raw like 60s recordings or anything like that. It's very polished, but it's
polished,
still that
but
edge.
Still kind of present and not like swamped with 80s production.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. You did your record. How long did it take you to do the record?
We did the record. Well, we did a demo tape of four songs that took about, oh no, actually, now I'm thinking about it, it took a weekend to do the four song demo. The four song demo is what got us signed like 2 months later. And then they took those four songs, stuck it on the album, so we ended up recording seven more songs, and that took about 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was real fast.
That's crazy. Four songs in a weekend, and then six songs in 2 months.
Yeah.
And you didn't touch any of the other ones?
Very little. We added maybe a little overdub here or there, but that was it. That was the songs that got us signed were the songs that were on the record.
And how did you choose the first single, or did you have an A&R person that was like, this is the one, guys. Yeah. Fellas, gather round.
This is the one, gentlemen. I think it was a consensus that everybody kind of agreed this was the most hook-heavy song. It was a song called I Walked. Everybody was in agreement. This is the one that's going to be the single. And that's what happened. Radio loved it, and we ended up going all over the place.
Well, there's a lot of parts of your story I want to get into. But before we do that, let's get to you playing a live song.
Sure.
What are you going to play us first?
I think I'm going to do a song that is fairly... It's going to be on a new record. Actually, I just finished recording this at home.
Awesome. Very nice guitar, sir.
Thanks. This is a Gibson. It's called an LC1, and I have never seen another one since. I bought this about 10 years ago.
It's perfect. It's like wine.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Like a fine wine.
It's a fine wine. So. All right, this song is called Trouble Again. Summertime, stars aligned, got that open window feeling again. Heat of night, neon light, I'll come alive before the day settles in. But when the dreaming happens, I get the feeling I'm in trouble again. Since age of five, I chose to fly. I'd still be flying today. I cut the line instead of dying on the vine, but I guess the child don't go away. Cause when it seems free time, ooh, I get the feeling I'm in trouble again. Whoa.
Yeah! Dude, that was awesome. I got a couple questions.
Sure.
First of all, was that open G tuning?
It was open G tuning.
Dude, yeah. I love the chords, man. Man! So open G tuning, Eddie, usually mm-hmm. guitars are tuned in fourths. Open G, like just play the open chord. So it's all just an open G chord.
It's most famous for, well, Keith Richards.
That's right.
Pretty famous. That a million Stone songs.
But you know what's really cool? It's like, and this is like a testament to 90s songwriters. I mean, I love, I'm a huge fan of like 90s songwriters because sure. That's when I really fell in love with music. There's so much arrangement in just you sitting here playing the song. There's so much arrangement. I know you feel the same because I feel this when I listen to music today. There's not a lot of arrangement in the guitar playing, or you were like doing hits with the vocal.
Right.
I mean, really cool stuff. Nobody does that stuff anymore. I love that stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I'm most informed from classic rock. I mean, that's what I grew up on is classic rock.
Right.
The Who and the Stones and Beatles and you know, Bowie and all that. The great songs. And I mean, really, if you don't have a good song, you know.
What do you have?
What else do you have?
Yes.
I mean, and then the arrangements are, you know, arranging like that. It's you got to think in terms of performing. You know, how is it exciting? Is it exciting for people to hear this? You know,
yeah.
Can you effectively pull off the song yourself on an acoustic guitar? That's a pretty good. You know.
Yeah, and also like some of the timing stuff that he was doing. Like this is why secretly, subliminally, subconsciously. This is why you love Pearl Jam, because they have so many arrangements in their songs. If it's just Eddie Vedder and Mike McCready playing a tune, you hear the whole band arrangement, right. Even with just the two of them. And artists today don't have that. It just drives me nuts, because it's like, it just sounds very plain, you know?
In terms of pop music and what is considered mainstream now, yeah, 100% agree. You know, I have daughters. I have a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. So with the 11-year-old, although she loves Simon and Garfunkel, got to give her that, you know, she likes the other stuff,
yes,
too,
yes.
What's on the radio. And it's all just like one straight line of... It's homogenous, yeah, but it's like, in terms of dynamics, it's just, if you looked at the file on, you know, on a computer, it would just be a block. You know, there's no peaks and valleys, and that's really, you know, music.
I bet you're a fan of Jellyfish. Do you know the band Jellyfish?
Of course I know Jellyfish.
So Jellyfish is like, like it's always like a test. It's like a terminal that I ask musicians. Like, like if a musician knows arrangements... Jellyfish is like one of the greatest bands. They arrange songs like Queen, like in that kind of style.
But I'm more akin to Queen.
Yes.
That's
yes.
where I'm coming from.
No, I love that.
Oh,
I love
that.
No,
we have a,
no, that's why
we
I know
a,
you
we have
love
a caller.
Jellyfish. Oh, we got a caller. What? Who's calling in?
I don't know. We'll find out. Hello.
Wrong number.
Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
Good, good, good. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. Is Miss Rebecca Bardot there?
Who's Rebecca Bardot?
Rebecca Bardot? No, I believe you might have the wrong number.
Her sister Bridget is.
Why don't you ask our guests a random question just because you're here?
Fire. Hello.
go ahead. Come on now.
Who's the guest?
We have an awesome singer-songwriter named Rob Bonfilio. Ask him anything that crosses your mind.
Wrong number, I guess.
Damn.
Well, that's an easy way to heckle Rob.
All right, well, have a good night.
Well, that's
I thought
all
this
right.
is the one where Rebecca Bardot is calling.
Oh, there's another show next door. I don't know if you might have the wrong number for this one. You might be trying to call the next door one. I'm not sure.
He's trying to call the porn show.
That happens more often than not.
Actually, that's the second caller that's called randomly like that. We've had a couple interesting drunk dials. That happens. It's just a part of radio. But anyways, so what was like the inspiration behind that song?
Sometimes, you know, inspiration comes from strange places. And this song was probably inspired by the open tuning itself. Like, I kind of tend to get bored with just a regular tuning of the guitar, you know, because I've just, you know, it feels like sometimes you just... I can't wring anything else out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I can. That's being whatever. But, you know, you tune it differently, and then all of a sudden, all the chord shapes are different.
It's a new instrument.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if my fingers would fall in a place, and it's like, I like the sound of, you know, these.
I first thought you were in Dadgad when I first, like, glanced at it. I'm like, no, there's no way, because that's a tuning I use. Dadgad, it's D-A-D-G-A-D. and it's a Celtic tuning. But some of the voicings, I was like, nope, those notes are not in there. And I'm looking at his fingers, and they're the notes that he should be hearing in that tuning. You're not hearing. So then I was like, it's got to be open G.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other question I had too is your sound hole is the biggest sound hole I've ever seen on an acoustic guitar.
Really?
I swear to God.
You know what it is? It's the moon on the horizon effect. It's a small guitar, but a standard sound.
No, that's definitely... There's no way.
Same size as this. Same size.
What? Yeah. Eddie, tell me which... Okay, just... No, there's no way. That's crazy. No. Do those look the same size to you?
Put your penis in and find out.
You wise guy, huh? That's crazy. Honestly, that...
The reason I know that is because I have what's called a feedback buster.
Yep. I've got one of those.
And it's, you know, it fits both. So.
That's crazy.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
The LC1, I think it was made for like a year and then they stopped production. But it's great. It's a cool little guitar.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know? It's awesome. I see that maple. It's what? Flamed maple? Quilted maple?
It's red.
On the back and sides? Yeah, it's got red. Maple. That's quilted maple on the back and sides. I used to work in a guitar shop, so it's like I love the woods on guitars.
Indeed.
I do. They're far out, man. All right, so you also do a lot of producing. You produced...
Yeah.
Wilson Phillips, I saw on your bio.
Yeah, I did.
So, which records did you do there?
Well, none of the hits. I mean, those were in the early 90s.
It's okay.
I was still a wee lad. I did a
record. Just hold on for one more day.
Exactly. I've played that many, many, many times. And I love it every time. I did a record called Dedicated, which was recorded in 2012. And it was a record, basically, of Mamas and Papas and Beach Boys songs.
Wow.
So... In homage to the parents.
Yeah.
So
it's Carney. Carney Wilson is Brian Wilson's daughter, correct?
As is Wendy, her sister, yeah.
That's right. And then the other one is...
China Phillips.
From
Michelle and
from Mamas
John
and Papas.
Phillips' daughter, correct?
That, dude, what, like, that's like a legacy of
classic
rock and roll. Like,
West
folk, West exactly. Californian, yeah. Like... Yeah, that was such an era of music. So what was it like switching gears from recording and being the band to then you're the guy behind the soundboard shaping the songs and arrangements?
Well, you know, the band I was in called Wanderlust in the 90s, as we were speaking about, I wasn't really the primary guy in that band. It was kind of a trial by fire in that band. I learned to write songs because the guy who was the leader of the band was a very good songwriter, so I kind of learned by rote. And then I didn't really break out on my own until we broke up around 98. And then I moved out to California, got married, moved out here, and decided I'm going to start my own thing. And that's kind of, I would say, around 2000, 2001 is where I really started to bury my head in songwriting and doing it. And I've put four records out since then, and I'm working on a fifth. And I don't know. I think I've always had a knack also for producing. So... I don't know.
That's amazing, though. I mean, like that is not a group that is necessarily... I mean, I can't imagine working with all females after you probably worked with all guys in the other band, right?
Sure.
It's got to be a little bit of a transition as far as, like, voice types.
Of course.
What you like, style of music, you know what I mean? Also, you're dealing with a different temperament of...
Oh,
You know what
course.
I mean? The artists
are different... Know? But I think a stripped-down pop song is a good song, no matter what. You know, a good pop song is stripped down. You can do it anyway, really. The band that we have backing the girls up definitely has more of a rock edge. It's just guitar, keys, bass, and drums. You know, if you listen to those early Wilson Phillips records, there's very much an 80s sound, you know.
Right.
Electronic drums.
And their voices are tight together.
Oh, right? Yeah. They harmonize very, you know, everything's very tight, three-part harmony. And what we did for Dedicated is we really broke down the original recording, was the Beach Boys and Mamas and Papas recordings, and took all the original voice parts, broke them all down, and added a little bit to that, and stayed very true to the original arrangements, but made it more modern and more radio-friendly in this day and age, I guess you
Were you
say.
Tempted to put any, like, Beach Boys guitar licks in there?
Oh, there's a few, you know. Chuck Berry riffs.
That's right.
Can't do it in open G, but yeah.
Nice. I love it. Well, let's play something from your studio record that you've got set up for us. What are you going to play for us from that?
This is a record I did in 2012. The album's called Mea Culpa. and the song is called Over. I'm a huge Todd Rundgren fan, as you can see.
Nice.
I'm wearing Todd.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always been a huge inspiration to me, and I think that this particular song has a lot of Todd in it, perhaps. Yeah, not really, you know, like, obviously so, but it's there. And he's from Philly, so there you go.
Cool. I love it.
So the name of the song is Over.
Over.
Try again. We'll take it so well. Whoa.
the audience loves it. Made Eddie want to get another haircut.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, I actually heard a lot of Eagles influence in that.
Okay.
Yeah, with a little George Harrison guitar, you know, playing.
George, of course.
Dude, I could definitely hear the Beatles influence.
Nice.
And arrangement heavy again. Love it.
Yes, yes.
So when did you record that? What was the influence behind the arrangement, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't know, really.
A lot of drugs and a lot of drugs.
That was in 2012. I don't know. It was just another song that came.
I like the way you arrange songs. Like, most people don't put a lot of thought into endings or dynamics or...
When I record, I do everything with headphones on, which some people shun, but some people, because I like, that's what I grew up with, you know, listening to, I love how things like Led Zeppelin and Jimmy Page's guitar, the one side is over here, and it's over here, all that kind of stuff, I love it, that's what I live for.
I never get tired of it, now I just, I love headphones, and I love big monitors, so I can just like, it's like a bigger set of headphones, I can just put my head in between,
Eddie. I remember when I was young, and I, the first time I bought Led Zeppelin 2, and I sat with my stereo speakers on either side of my head, and what's the but anyway, the guitar, it was panned left and right, so da-na-da-na would be right, and then, you know, back and forth, and you could hear how he's flipping the knob, you know. Jimmy Page produced all that stuff, so he was like left.
He's still producing other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he's doing
now,
yeah.
He's such
incredible.
He is like the mastermind behind all those records.
Oh, he is.
The crazy thing is like how he was able to mix the drums the way he did as a guitar player. That's
But those drums were recorded with what, two microphones or something? Yeah.
And you can never get drums to sound like that.
That's
now.
That's a testament to John Bonham, too.
Yeah.
He's that guy was a powerhouse.
The best drummer ever. Yeah. Ever. He was a little crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Page, you know, he didn't get the credit he deserved for producing that stuff.
I know.
He did it.
Into the Outdoors, one of my favorite records. Obviously, I love 1, 2, 4.
I love the Dark Horse album, which is Presence.
Right.
That's the one that kind of like people forgot. That's the cocaine record.
Coda is awesome, too.
Coda, yeah.
That's a great record that honestly.
Darling.
Yeah, I love that record. You know, that's one of those records that's like. That was unexpected for me to fall in love with because it wasn't a record that is in the mainstream.
It came out after they broke up, too, after Bonham passed away. It was the record that was the first record after that.
So. And, you know, they still got it. I've heard their live record, and they're just amazing. But the arrangements and stuff that you're doing is reminiscent of all that 60s, 70s
that's
rock and roll. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like that's what's missing today in music is arrangement-heavy production.
God damn it, let's bring it back.
I'm serious. No, I do the same thing with my band. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
and it's
like
most people forget like using that intricacy. It's like it's a gift to the listener. You know, it's like
it
trains the listener's ear to go on an adventure instead of seeing the same thing over and over.
Which is funny because we're in a day and age where things have to come quick. Everybody wants stuff now, quick, and they're done with it.
Yeah.
It's like there's no time taken with stuff. So we're kind of like out of sync with things, but fuck
who cares?
I love this stuff. You know?
I agree.
I love it. I certainly ain't making money, so.
Well, let's talk about this real quick. Who are your biggest influences?
Oh, well, Todd Rundgren, of course, Beatles, who? I'm a huge Pete Townsend freak. Who else?
I just saw them, actually.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, they were at you know the desert festival.
Oh, that's right. The old cello.
Yeah, old cello. That's right. And they were awesome. I was like really impressed. They still had it. I was like
Townsend. I mean
Townsend's
he's no
legend.
That
he's a legend.
Forget
yeah.
it. Dylan, Bob Dylan, of course. Speaking of Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon alone. Wow, all that stuff is just.
You know, I went to a Q&A with Paul
Bruce
Simon.
Bruce Springsteen. Sorry. Yeah.
Recently, and I asked him. I said, you know, like. I went to another Q&A with Clive Davis, and he said Bridge Over Troubled Water is the greatest song written of all time. And I said, what's the song you wish he wrote? And he said Silent Night. That was his answer. I was like, of all the like
really?
Great songs in American rock and roll and like
interesting.
I would never have picked that song.
Maybe
that
because it's just will go on forever.
It's a great it's a great melody, but it's just like I was a little shocked. I was like expecting him to say a Beatles song or maybe a James Taylor song or something.
Didn't they cover that song, Simon and Garfunkel? It had like a It wasn't called Silent. I forget what it was. It was.
He quoted it in his new record.
Okay.
Real, like, briefly. Mm-hmm. And, like, now that I listen to the new record, I'm like, now I know why he did that. But
yeah.
It was just, you know, I love that you love arrangement-heavy songwriters because yeah. I'm also an arrangement-heavy songwriter. And I just love
yeah.
dense arrangements
sure.
that give you that, like, experience that music kind of lacks today. It's like
totally.
When I listen to a radio song, I've listened to the entire song in the first 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And that bores me a little bit. It's like exactly. It takes a lot of like excitement.
Right. It doesn't
out.
Unfold. It just bam,
and Eddie, you love Pearl Jam,
yeah,
and they're also an arrangement heavy band. That's yeah. also like probably you don't maybe realize that, but that's what I love about that band is I can listen to a song and like a song like an Alive when they get to the bridge, which is like that slow broken down section. It's so majestically incredible. Because it's like so different than anything you've heard for the first two and a half minutes of the song. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're like, yeah. I love it.
I guess. I have no idea.
All in agreement.
I like the lyrics. I like the lyrics.
Yeah. No, lyrics are huge. No, it's funny because it's like you know we like to indulge mm-hmm. in those kind of arrangement heavy things, mm-hmm. and it's like. You never know what the listener's experience is for them. But
exactly.
But I love those kind of dense arrangements, so it's like really
Absolutely.
Refreshing to hear another songwriter do like
I was
stuff
yeah,
like that.
I was always moved by the music. The music is what took me first.
Yeah.
And then I got into whatever
the lyrics,
lyric was.
The melody,
I mean, like growing up listening to the Led Zeppelin, I don't know what the hell they're saying half the time, you know.
Let's get to your last performance. What are you going to play us real quick?
I'm going to play you another new song that's going to be on a forthcoming record. And this guy, I have the lyrics here because I keep forgetting them. Sorry.
All right. Before you do that real quick, where can people find you, Rob? Why don't you spell out your website?
Oh, absolutely. It is. Oh, hold on. Here we go.
I just got to look it up. I love it.
www.robbonfiglio.com. That's RobBonfiglio.com. I'm on Twitter at Rob_Bonfiglio and Instagram at the same. And I'm on Facebook, Rob Bonfiglio.
Awesome. What are you going to play us?
This song's called Love Over Hurt. This is kind of like a ballad song. So.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel I've lost an only friend. Sometimes I feel the night will never end. No more talking about this now. Can two people get along anyhow? It's like these walls are closing in. We fuss and fight, but no one ever wins. His heart's a secret, but body's still. If they can't fix this, no one ever will. And we've only ourselves to make it work. Only one chance to be sure. Take my long line of friends who choose love. comes the sound of silence ain't enough to bring us round and earn each other's trust. Love everlasting belongs.
Stuff.
Eddie, you've inspired me to get a haircut.
you can barely get one.
I know. I'm losing a lot of hair. Losing a lot of hair. Quick and fast.
Keep making fun.
I'm just kidding. On behalf of Eddie and I, we'll see you guys next week. Special thanks to Ronan Rosner for making Rob Bonfilio sound so great. Yep. That was awesome.
Good stuff. Guys. Thanks again.
Well done. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence right here on LA Talk Radio.